Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick with you here, guys. I mean, Kevin Stefanski, you can say what you want about the guy. You give him the right kind of quarterback, he's won games. And you can say, right kind of quarterback? What do you mean by that? Well, I mean a guy who stands in the pocket, runs a lot of play action, maybe can throw the bootleg pretty well, and isn't afraid to stretch it down the field. But you've even seen a spurt of it with Jameis Winston, right? And I can tell you wholeheartedly, I wasn't a Jameis Winston believer when he came here. I thought you were getting a downgrade over Joe Flacco as your backup. I thought everyone thinks it's 30 for 30 Jameis. He's a little bit more reserved for that. He still showed you he's willing to sling the rock when he's getting the starting role. But you know what you get with him. You're not going to get a team that's going to go and go out there and win 11, 12 games. You're going to win probably 7 if you give him the full season. But you saw it against the Ravens. That's the way the offense is supposed to function, sort of in a Kevin Stefanski offense. It looks better with him. It's still not probably the full thing. You're still running more of the Ken Dorsey style, the version of it, though. I think you fully hand it over, and it probably starts to look a little bit better. You get him the right quarterback, one that he wants. Again, if you're Andrew Berry and you're the front office, you don't even have to identify it yourself. Here's the list, Kevin. Here, we'll get you their tape, too. Let's see what you got. Pick one. All on you. You make the pick. You find a guy that you like, and you go ahead and you tell me that's the guy that the offense is going to work with. Run him back. See if he wins you games. Because you can't roll Deshaun back out there. That's not going to work. We've seen that. So I don't know what quarterback you're going to. You have to go to the draft. Maybe you want to go best available. I don't know. Is that better than letting Kevin Stefanski pick? Again, 216-474-0092. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Larry in Elyria. Larry, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Jake? Yeah, you mentioned his system. And what's great about Stefanski's system is, Jake, when one of the quarterbacks get hurt, it's quarterback-friendly system. You know, I'm under center. You run the ball, be effective, take the pressure off the quarterback back plays. With Jacoby had here, like I said, the Walker too, and DTR also. Even hopefully with Flacco last year also. And to me, to be effective in this type of thing, being under center, I have to make the play action pass work. I think it's more effective running the ball too, Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, they go hand in hand too, right? Like, when right. Your run game's effective, you pull the play action off better. And when you go under center, your run game's also naturally more effective.
Right, exactly right. It'll freeze the linebackers. That were there, they had to be turned for you to run the ball or not. And once they get sucked in, they bite on it. You take the ball deep on them. But I don't know. I'll tell you, it has to be the key of the quarterback, man. I hate to say it. The next, God, 4 or 5 years. I mean, you set yourself back for a long time. They can't find the right person.
Yeah, I mean, we've lived it essentially since. I mean, I haven't lived it since 99. I've lived it since 2001. But Browns fans have lived it since 99 and before then, that you're still now right back where you feel like you started before you drafted Baker, which is, I still don't have a quarterback in the room that I trust in the slightest.
Well, Kevin mentioned, I remember back, God, in the 60s and 70s, I hate to trade, God, Paul Wolf for Mike Fitz at the time too, Jake. But what happened was, Fitz was the number one guy. But something, yeah, hurt and Brian Sipe, a guy from, God, picked him what, in the 7th, 8th round or something. It was really deep. The guy turned out the effective quarterback.
Yeah.
But still, if that person, though, can, and the key of it, too, Jake, in the system, and first down, too, that's the thing about the rest of you, I can see him do. If they get something on first down, second down short, it'll help the team out a lot, keep them in long situations.
Yeah, no doubt, Larry. Appreciate the call. I think, and I hate to make this comparison because JP loves to make this comparison, right? It's that Kevin Stefanski thinks he's Kyle Shanahan. That's what's in his head. So I'll draw the comparison to you again. Kyle Shanahan can go take Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy. Okay? Nobody was high on Brock Purdy. Literally no other team was willing to draft him with a draft pick. They took him the very last pick in the draft. But he's a quarterback who kind of fits what Kyle Shanahan wanted to do. He fit everything you wanted. It was basically a Jimmy G prototype that you got in the seventh round. It was that. If something goes wrong, well, at least you got Brock. He'll run the system. We might not look that great, but he'll be there, and he should be able to fit in with what we want to do. And maybe the quarterback, as we found out in Kyle Shanahan's offense, isn't the most important part. As long as you fit in with what I want to do, it's really every other piece that makes the whole engine go. That's kind of what it feels like with Kevin Stefanski. Right? It's not necessarily that it has to be the most amazing quarterback in the world, but if he fits the system, the offense will go. Maybe not to the level of the Shanahan offense, but in the same ideology that if you give it to him, he's going to make a solid-looking offense just by having a guy who does what he wants them to do and does it relatively well. That's why I'm saying he doesn't necessarily have to be a first-round guy for me. You can look into the second, fourth. I start getting a little bit more worried when you start pushing it to like fifth, sixth, seventh. I don't want you to take Mr. Irrelevant and be like, that was the guy Kevin Stefanski highlighted. No, 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 please no. Find me one that's a little bit higher up than that. I would appreciate it. But I don't think it necessarily has to be a guy that you take at like pick seven. Not for this style of offense. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's get to Daryl in Euclid. Daryl.
My brother, I got a point I want to argue with you.
Let's go.
Because it sounds like, in your assessment, you say that it was Deshaun and not Kevin. Okay, let me make this argument. This team started to fall apart early in the season. There was not a coach on the field that was able to keep them together. They're one of the most penalized teams in the league. It doesn't look like they got the memo on the illegal shift. It doesn't look like they're disciplined and can stay. The offensive line can stay still before the call. Constant ball starts. That's coaching, man. That's nobody else. That is coaching. Deshaun Watson is not out there blowing assignments and leaving receivers wide open for touchdowns. Deshaun Watson is not the one out there that was getting the false starts. Kevin, what he showed me this year is that he can't keep a team together. Like I told you, man, you can't do both. You know, if I'm an owner and I see that, yeah, I'm 2-7, but I'm probably in the top five of least penalized teams, that lets me know my coach is okay. But if I'm 2-7 and I'm also one of the highest penalized teams in the league, my coach has lost the room. So it's not even about scheme or playbook or whatever. Kevin has lost the room.
Hey, can I play the other side of it for you? And this is not absolving the coach, because I think the coaches have also been bad this year, right? Like, we're going to talk about that coming up after we talk to our guests, and once we get back to Browns, I'm going to talk about the coaching staff here at some point. But Kevin Stefanski was still the head coach when the Browns had Joe Flacco under center, and they managed to win 11 games. Mm-hmm. That was still your head coach. You weren't being penalized that much. I hate to be the guy to say it, but I think maybe the guys went out there in training camp, look how Deshaun bounced back, was watching him in practice, watching him through 7-on-7s and everything, watching him throw the football, and being like, sort of just a not conscious way of checking out, but being like, oh, geez, I don't have the same confidence that we had last year.
Could be. And I'll give you that. They could have known in preseason or camp, like, oh, this guy ain't it. They could have known that, and that could have made their confidence go down. But to that point, you need your coach to keep the confidence up and keep you disciplined. And like I said, you can't do both, man. It's dangerous when you do both. When you're one of the worst teams in the league and you're one of the highest penalized teams. What I don't want to do is let Mike Vrabel out the door.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either.
I don't want to miss the opportunity when my coach is right there. Now, I've always said that Mike Vrabel was Jimmy Haslam's insurance policy. In case Kevin stunk it up this year, I've always felt that. I don't want to lose the opportunity to have him for Kevin Stefanski. I don't want to do that.
Yep, Daryl, appreciate the call. So, like, You know, I don't want to make that one argument or the other. Again, I kind of wanted to play devil's advocate on that. And I would say, if you put it to an A or a B, is it more a Kevin Stefanski problem or a Deshaun Watson problem? I'll tell you, I'll lean to Deshaun Watson, no doubt. I think both guys probably contribute to that. I don't think Kevin's perfect by any means. That guy has plenty of problems and has shown it over the course of the year. I don't think being a coach who needs a specific quarterback to fit your system and make things work is probably the best kind of coach either. I would like to see one that can adapt, but hey, that's the guy you have here. I think you've seen enough out of Deshaun to say, probably not going to work on this one. And in terms of Mike Vrabel, this was something even me and Jax were talking about over the break, just over the idea of like getting Shador here, right? You would have to get Deion, which seems like the complete opposite of what the Haslams would like to hire. The Haslams and the Browns at this point like to hire, I don't want to say somebody they can like control, but it's somebody more of a yes man, a guy that they can say, hey, I want you to do this. And he's going to, okay, I'll go out and do that. You could tell Deion to go have those Kevin Stefanski press conferences. Hoo-hoo, good luck. That man ain't sitting there giving you PR answers for nothing. He'll say whatever he wants to say. If he wants to give PR answers, he will. If he doesn't want to, he ain't listening. That's a guy in the room. That's kind of a Mike Vrabel, too. He's going to go out there and say what he wants to say. He's played in the league long enough. He's had his dues. He coached himself well and had his own team succeeding. He's going to say what he wants to say. Let's go to Greg in Kent. Greg, you got a little bit of an idea here? I'm doing well.
Yeah, I'm thinking, hey, our younger Joe Flacco, just a guy that can stay in the pocket, run your bootlegs, they can say, I got a guy out there right now that's a free agent that we could probably get next year. I'm thinking Ryan Tannehill. He's got a 64% completion rating over his career. He's got a 2-for-1 touchdown rating to interceptions. We can get him, draft a really high round, best wide receiver available kind of guy, helps him out. This guy can be in the pocket. I think a guy can run, advance his offense like a Kirk Cousins, a pocket passer like that, like Joe Flacco. Can sling it, can throw a deep ball when he's open. Because Kevin can scheme guys open. These wide receivers get open. We just couldn't get him the ball. There's numerous videos on the internet you've seen these guys open, they're not getting the ball. Then we saw when Jameis gets in there, he doesn't have the accuracy, but they're open. So we got these two guys, Jerry Jeudy's get a number one wide receiver, Tannehill in there, carry us over for a year or two. If we need a quarterback after that, we could be there. But I think he can get us to the playoffs just like Flacco did last year.
And Greg, I appreciate the call. Jax is sitting here shaking his head because we want to be, I think, in the same boat here.
I'm all the way out on Ryan Tannehill.
Right, like, I don't want Ryan Tannehill to be a logical answer. Is it bad that I think he kind of might be? Right, like, I'm not telling them to go out and get Ryan Tannehill. I appreciate Greg's enthusiasm for the guy. If you want to stay away from him, please do. It's almost like a sort of good fit for the Browns. He does everything that you think the Browns might want him to do. He can run the play action. He sort of succeeded in the Vrabel offense like that before. Hey, hand it to Derrick Henry. I still think there's probably better options. I'd rather go young and be able to have a guy that might have a future rather than you get a bridge quarterback, Tannehill. If you get Tannehill, you're essentially giving me Jameis Winston, who might not turn it over as often.
And it's not as fun.
No, not nearly as fun. Although as somebody who spent some time cutting up some Jameis interviews, that's not fun. That's not fun. 216-474-0092. Angelo in North Royalton, I see on the line. We're going to get to you when we get back on the other end. I want to keep that going. I want to extend the conversation as well. The Browns maybe more than a quarterback away. But before we get to all that, we're going to have to talk to Dylan Feltovich. He's coming up in the next segment from Ohio State. Buckeyes on Sports Illustrated. We're going to talk to him about the upcoming game against Purdue, college football playoff rankings, Indiana, and you know who coming up after that. It's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Feels like a little bit of time to talk the Buckeyes. That's what it feels like. It might be time to get somebody else involved. I want to get our good friend out, get Dylan Feltovich. He's of Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, and he joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dylan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jake. You know, it's Friday night. College football's on tomorrow. That's all I can really ask for at this point.
Hey, now college football's just rolling along all week long. I mean,
it's perfect.
Midweek action. That's the best time of the year.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, I'm super upset that we can't talk about it more. But, Maction, it's always awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. But we do have to talk Buckeyes. We have to. It's a necessity. You have to get there. So let's just look back at last week for a second, right? The Buckeyes take down Penn State. That game, what do you learn from about this team? Learn about this team from a week like that. I'll eventually be able to talk during this interview, I promise.
You know, it's fine. I get it. You know, English is hard. I think the biggest takeaway, the biggest takeaway that I got from that game was the ability for the offensive line to adapt in a big game like that. I know that the defense has looked a lot better ever since that Oregon game, but the real story was with the offensive line. I've been saying it for a while now. One of the biggest losses that has happened for the program this year was losing left tackle Josh Simmons. I mean, many NFL draft analysts have been putting that guy in the back end of the first round. He was a critical piece of that offensive line, so him going down was going to be a huge issue. And then on top of that, too, backup Zen Mikowski, he ends up going down with an injury in the previous week against Nebraska as well. So they ended up having to slide left guard Donovan Jackson over to left tackle, which he's had little experience with. And to be honest with you, I was very impressed with how Jackson did. And also, too, on top of that, Carson Heisman, he did a phenomenal job, too. And especially against that defensive line of Penn State, where it features multiple NFL caliber players, I think that was just a remarkable thing for this program. I don't know if Mikowski will be playing this week or not. It's still kind of up in the air, but hopefully he gets healthy towards the end of the season because they got a couple of big games heading into the future there.
Yeah, no doubt. And if, let's say, you know, for a couple of weeks he's not able to get healthy. They show you enough to say that they can compete with just about anybody in college football, or are you really banking on him getting healthy in order to make a run this year?
I think that you probably need him back in the lineup, mainly just because I prefer Donovan Jackson much more at left tackle, and I think anyone would say that as well, too. But at least it's, you know, sustainable, and they're able to do and run an offense with him at the left tackle spot. So I would prefer that Zen gets back into the lineup as soon as possible. However, you know, you don't have too many games coming up that are that important. You got Purdue and then Northwestern. I'd rather him stay a little bit more healthy until he gets into the games against Indiana and Michigan.
All right, first edition of College Football Playoff rankings are out. Ohio State, surprising to me, sitting at number 2. Is it expected for you, or did it also take you aback?
I'm not surprised. There was a 7-point difference between Georgia and Ohio State in the most recent AP Top 25. So obviously, everyone's been kind of saying they've been neck and neck. And it just goes to show you that it's just a very weird year all around. You got teams losing games left and right, upsets occurring all the time here. But you have to consider, too, Ohio State, they only lost by 1 to the number 1 team in the nation, and they've clearly, Oregon has separated themselves basically from the rest of the pack, in my opinion, at this point. And then they also just beat Penn State, who was originally ranked number 3 and only dropped down 3 spots to number 6. So their resume looks very good, in my opinion. And if you look at Georgia right now, too, it's starting to get a little bit shaky, in my opinion. Especially at the quarterback position, too, Carson Beck has been struggling a ton. 8 of the last 11 interceptions he has thrown this year have come from the last 3 games. Like, it's been very shaky play out of the Georgia Bulldogs right now, so I definitely think that Ohio State has deserved that number 2 spot.
All right, let's say college football playoffs. Again, Dylan Feldovich joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. But I want to stay college football playoff rankings, and I want to sort of play a hypothetical here. So OSU, let's say they win out but then lose in the Big Ten championship, which we'd assume would be to undefeated Oregon, and they get the 5 seed. Any reason that they should want to get a first-round bye instead of playing those teams? Because when you look at it, like, if it were to end right now, you'd be going up more so against like an Indiana or Tennessee compared to playing back-to-back games where you play like a Boise State and then BYU. So would you rather want to play the five seed and sort of have those back-to-backs, or should you still be prioritizing getting that first round bye?
I think if they can for sure lock up a number five spot, I would say go for it, because like you said, the schedule is a lot easier if you are going from the number five spot rather than the number one spot. However, there is little room for error right now in terms of how the season has been going for all college football teams right now. And that idea of Ohio State losing to Oregon and then getting into the five seed, it really stemmed from the idea that, okay, maybe if they lose in the conference championship and they end up beating them in the regular season, though, and they go undefeated there, but that was their only loss, that would make a lot more sense then for them to get that number five seed. But the thing is, though, with that loss occurring during the regular season to Oregon, it's kind of up in the air, because at that point you have two losses. You don't know what Georgia or Texas or these other teams are really going to be doing at the end of the year and how that'll all shake up. Because if you look at it then too, the number five seed is the prime spot for all teams, and all teams will be hunting for that spot. Because yes, you go Boise and BYU, but then if you drop down one spot to the number six spot, you'd have to play Alabama, then Miami. So in my opinion, I think you just play it safe. I think you just try to win the conference championship. And obviously, I'm sure that's what Ryan Day and his coaching staff is telling the team. But at the same time, too, there's always that possibility. Again, who knows how that all shakes out? I think that's going to be a question that is going to be more interesting as we head towards the end of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. That one, if you can get the five seed, seems like a lot of fun. Other than facing Ashton Jeanty, because I don't think I'd want to do that, but seems like a pretty good road other than that.
He's our hero. We love him.
That guy is bringing running backs back to the first round.
No kidding.
Last time, Dylan, I had you on, it was right before the Buckeyes started this season, right before we got week one. Just absolute dogfight against Akron that was coming up there. But I did ask you, what guy was going to be your sleeper pick? And you told me it was going to be cornerback Davison Igbinosin. How are we feeling about that pick at this point?
Well, after last week, I mean, I feel pretty smart about it. But if you would have asked me that after the Oregon game, I would have been, I don't know. But, I mean, he's really started to come into his own, I think. I truthfully think that he is a great piece to this defense. He's a good, solid number two cornerback. I think there is some parts to his game that need to be worked on. I know Jim Knowles has talked about how, you know, they'll put oven mitts on him to make sure he's not as handsy, because he's very aggressive in his play style. But, you know, when you have that aggressive type of player, you sometimes get those interceptions that end up working out for you, like in the Penn State game, because that one truly took away a lot of the momentum for the Nittany Lions there. But also on the other hand too, you know, there are the penalties, there are the giving up the explosive plays. But overall, I mean, I've been pretty happy with how Davison Igbinosin has been playing so far. So, you know, I'll take credit for that for once. You know, I don't like the...
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
...on the back too much. Yeah, no, it's fine. But, yeah, it's good.
Again, Dylan Feltovich of Ohio State Buckeyes on SI with us here on the hotline. I got to give you a little bit of smack there. I mean, we're good friends. You'll dish it out, you'll take it. We're fine. Anybody that thinks we got a little bit of beef, no, it's all right. It's all right. I'm sure I'll get a text after this. It calls me words that we probably shouldn't say over the air.
Yeah, probably.
Indiana coming up in just a couple of weeks. Sort of America's darling right now. And I feel like everybody's sort of rooting for that program. Almost like a Cinderella story. Are they the real deal? And then on top of that, concern for Ohio State in that matchup?
Jake, I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit concerned. Obviously, I'm not hitting the panic button on this one. But this team has completely blown through expectations. If you looked at any of the preseason rankings in terms of the Big Ten teams, they were near the bottom. This has pretty much come out of the blue. And I think it really starts with the head coach. And it's like they go into games with a chip on their shoulder. And I hate to admit it. I was thinking about this today. It's kind of like the Baker Mayfield effect. If you think about it, and I know that I shouldn't say that around, you know, Cleveland radio and stuff, but it's like, oh, you know, you don't think that we're that good. Oh, we're just a basketball school. No, we're a legit team right now. And they've looked very good, in my opinion, not just on the offense, but on the defensive side of the ball, too. I think that this is going to be probably Ohio State's toughest matchup in terms of talent-wise for the rest of the season. You know, obviously, you got Michigan at the end of the season there, last game. But it's just a very good team that has blown up out of nowhere. And also, too, you're catching them right before the game against Michigan. So I'm a little bit concerned. Obviously, they had a little bit of an injury situation at the quarterback spot. I don't know how that one is going so far. But if he does make a return, that's going to be huge for Indiana if he does make the return against Ohio State.
Yeah, that's just a team. I don't know. Kurt Cignetti's just got them. They got them moving different in Indiana.
It's crazy. I mean, I looked at an article today. I don't know if this is 100% true or not or anything, but apparently he got like 500 votes from the state of Indiana for the presidency.
I did. I saw that too. I think that's like I'm all for it. All right,
I mean, it's crazy.
If you're gonna go right in. All right, we don't talk politics on this show, but if you're gonna go right in, if you're in the state of Indiana, I think you picked the right guy. Right?
they love the guy. They love the guy. And again, it's that Baker Mayfield effect where it's like the chip on his shoulder. He goes into every game wanting it more than you kind of mentality. And it's been fueling this team all year.
All right, Dylan. Now, the game. One extra week away from that one. Ohio State, Michigan. Not necessarily the Michigan we're used to seeing, though. And I don't know. Should Ohio State fans still be worried with Ryan Day's record going up against them when you come up against them this year, sort of a different style than you saw them under Jim Harbaugh?
You should always be worried heading into this game, and that's just because it's the game. You know, if any type of rivalry game will have some sort of impact on your team. You're not going to see the regular teams go out there and play how they usually play against anyone else when you go up against them. That's just the nature of the beast there. So, in my opinion, I think there is still a little bit of concern. But at the same time, too, you should win this game. There's no doubt about it. You're at home. Michigan has pretty much struggled on offense. They're not in the top 25 anymore. They got a first-year head coach in Shrone Moore. You should win, but at the same time, you got to keep that in the back of your head that this is a rivalry game. It's college football where any given Saturday, anything can happen. So the level of concern, it's a little bit up in the air, but they should get it done.
As an Ohio State fan myself, zero concern. Zero concern. That team looks awful. That's just my two cents. Every time I watch them play, I'm sitting there like, how's this team going to score the football? Like, it is just ugly.
No, It's ugly, and I mean, I got to see Michigan play live earlier this year. I saw them play against USC there. They just get it done, though. That's part of the thing that scares me, because, yes, obviously they've struggled, you know, for a greater part of the season so far after, you know, losing to Washington and stuff. But then there's games where, you know, USC, their defense takes total control of the game. And that's one of the big reasons why there is still some concern. You know, Mason Graham on that defensive line, seeing that dude up close, live, I mean, it's nuts. There's a reason why that dude's going to be potentially a top five pick in the NFL draft come 2025. And then on top of that, Will Johnson, too, a cornerback. We've dealt with him a couple of years now. It's a scary defense, and that's why there is still some concern to me.
Again, Dylan Feltovich, Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, joining us here. Dylan, I got one last question for you. I'm gonna throw out an open-ended question, and we're going to see where you go with it. Ohio State wins a national championship this year if?
I think it's defense. If they keep up the good defensive play that we have seen these past 2 weeks, I think they are fully capable of winning a national championship. There's no doubt in my mind. I think the offense will slowly start to get back on track. I know they've been struggling a little bit here and there. However, I think it's going to come down to the defense. You saw that it really struggled against Oregon, the top team in the nation. That's got to be the big factor moving forward, in my opinion. If you can keep playing well on defense, I think you have a real shot.
All right, Dylan, we'll be looking to talk to you later on as Ohio State moves on. Appreciate you, bud.
Perfect. Thanks, Jake.
Yep, that was Dylan Feltovich from Buckeyes on SI, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's get to a break. When we come back, I do want to hit on a little something that Dylan touched on there. Because are Ohio State fans, Ohio State fans, I said I was going to be able to talk by the end of the interview. I lied. Sorry, Dylan. Are Ohio State fans still scared of Ryan Day against Michigan? 216-474-0092. Are you still afraid? You can get to be on X as well, at Jake Vold, Jake Vuel. We'll get to that when we come back right here. Jake Volnick.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I'm a fan. JP also listens to an absurd amount of radio, all right? I listen to the station a lot. That man does not miss a beat. Okay, he hears every single word said on the station, I swear to you. It's wild. I wish. I just don't have it in me.
The fact that he would be able to get... He wasn't even just getting you the stuff that they would podcast. He was getting you, like, hey, this random 640 segment that they had today. It's like... Yeah, man, why were you up that morning? Don't you have a kid that was maybe preoccupying you for about 45 minutes to where you would have missed this?
Nope, I'm telling you. He's got, I'm pretty sure it's AirPods in, and he's rolling, all right? He does not put it down. And even if he wakes up late, I'm pretty sure he goes back and listens. He's dedicated.
I'm pretty sure he uses that Rewind feature on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, the free Odyssey app, if you didn't know, if you haven't heard, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Nick Wilson bit. No, if you haven't, the free Odyssey app, you should download it. But we did just talk to Dylan Feltovich of Buckeyes on SI. I guess it would be probably relevant to talk about the things that we're talking about. No, Dylan, we closed out the interview. One of the last questions we asked him, sort of whether or not Ohio State fans are still scared of Ryan Day against Michigan. Dylan brought up the point of, yeah, like it's Michigan at the end of the day. Like it is a rivalry game. I think you always have to fear that. I'm telling you guys right now, I am not scared a single ounce to go up against that team this year. They look awful. Sure, they're 5-4. They're winning games, but like not. This is not the team that Ryan Day has faced off against the last 3 years. Okay, they have incompetent quarterback play. I would like to say that this is going to be a fun game to watch. I don't think it is because their offense is bad. The defense is great. Right, the defense is still there. They're going to have multiple first-rounders on that defense. The offense, there might not be a single soul. There's going to be a couple guys drafted, maybe like one or two. But other than that, it's just... Ohio State fans, I think, are really beat up about Ryan Day right now. They're like, before the season started, everyone was saying if he loses a game to Michigan this year, he's done. If he can't win the college football playoff game, he's done. Listen, I think if you lose to Michigan this year, yeah, you probably are done, but only because how bad they are. If you lose a college football playoff game, maybe in the first round, yeah, you'd be done. Other than that, this is not the same scenario. The teams that Ryan Day was losing to before were legitimate national title contenders and winners. Those were the teams he was losing to, and most of those putting up a relatively good fight. I don't agree with the guy losing 3 years in a row. I'm not saying, hey, give him a pass. Right? You have to come in and win the games that you're supposed to win and win the competitive ones because, let's be real, Ohio State and Ohio State fans expect you to be a top of the country every single year.
Yeah, but the thing about losing that Michigan game, right? The last 3 years, you finished 11-2. More than likely, if you don't lose those Michigan games, your path to the college football championship game is probably a little easier. And if you probably win that game, the confidence you have going into that long break is probably different. And that probably also affects how they look in these bowl games as well. So I would agree with you to a degree, but you can't. Michigan, you can't lose that game. Like, you can't lose three times in a row. Like, if you look at the last, what, three coaches, Urban Meyer, Trussell, and then Cooper, only one of those guys had a problem beating the team up north, and he got so much rope. But after a while, it was like, hey, bruh, we love these five-star recruits. We love these draft picks, but you're also still losing guys to Michigan, and you're losing to the team. So now, like, if they look better in these national showings, he maybe then could slide with three or four losses. But he loses to them, like I said, because it's going to wreck your season. You're going to have another two-loss season, and you may sneak into the playoff, but your seeding is going to be bad. The confidence and morale is not going to be where it needs to be. So, okay,
I'll buy that for most of it, right? Which, okay, John Cooper, the Saints give a guy enough rope to hang himself or, you know, give whoever enough rope to hang himself. They gave him that and then, like, the extra entire bundle of rope that they had sitting next to him, okay? He was, like, 2-10 against Michigan. That's absurd, okay? You want to tell me you're not giving Ryan Day four games and he's out? Okay, the guy went 2-10 and he kept him around, right, because he was winning. Ryan Day's also winning. A game against Missouri in a bowl game, right? Not a college football playoff game. It looked awful. Is it an acceptable loss? No, especially considering how many guys showed up to the game. Does the loss really matter at the end of the day? Also, no. I don't think Ohio State was hanging banners or putting up anything around campus to flaunt the fact that they would have won a bowl game that had no implications on being the national champions. If you want to talk about confidence, going in, you lose a game to Michigan, you played against Georgia. That's a game that, sure, you lost it. You were there neck and neck. Like, it wasn't a game that you walked in and it's like, it's embarrassing. How do you not win that game? A field goal kicker can put a ball straight. You're walking into a national championship game, okay? And I can say that. I was in a bar in Columbus as that game happened. Believe me, everyone had the air sucked out of the room. That was a very sad place to be during that game, okay? If he kicks it straight, my New Year's Eve goes a lot better.
But imagine what their seeding would have been if they just would have went ahead and took care of business, beat Michigan, and now maybe somebody else has to beat. Maybe somebody else beats Georgia, and it doesn't have to be you.
He's still got to go out there and win the championship.
I don't disagree, but
you got to win the games. And he was in that game, right? Like, you can't put everything on Ryan Day. If he was going out there and getting blatantly outcoached like the Missouri game, you can't get outcoached like that. And you can't go in there and not score double-digit points. That's not a game where you look at it and he's like, well, Ryan Day got blatantly outcoached. It was down to the wire against a very good Georgia team. That's just the way it crumbles sometimes, right? Like, you don't want to be in that spot. But sometimes that's the spot you're in. You lose the close games. Unfortunately for Ryan Day, it's a whole lot more often than it's not. I'm not saying you have to accept that and he should get six more years just because he's winning games against non-ranked opponents. But I'm also saying don't run the guy out of town just because he's had a couple of shots in the college football playoffs and lost to legitimate national title winning Michigan teams. I guarantee you the Wolverines get stomped this year in the game.
But isn't these the games that I pay you to win? Isn't this the games that I pay you to go get the talent and the scheme and the coaching staff to win? I mean, granted, yes, you should be able to beat a high-level opponent in a playoff scenario, no matter who they are.
Right.
But we don't argue about seeding for nothing. So, I mean, if you don't finish fourth and you finish second or third, you possibly take on Michigan. And had you already beat them in the last week of the season, you'd feel way different about playing them again in the playoff. And even if they didn't play Michigan, they would have played potentially TCU. I would have much rather played TCU than Georgia in the first round.
I fully agree.
That's where not winning all of these games, I don't want to say he's only losing two a year, but losing that second game and it being to Michigan, it's the last game of the season. It's the last thing that voters get to see you on the field. that gets hard to get over and the implications that that leaves after the fact.
I just feel like the leash on Ryan Day for everybody feels short wanting to run him out of town. Urban Meyer had a real long leash. Sure, he got to a national champion, won a national championship, right? Can't argue with that. He was also almost bound to lose to like a Purdue every single year. Those are the games I pay you to not worry about. I if I'm an athletic director, that's the game I pay you to be like, I can go lay back on my couch and take a nap during this game if I want to, because I know you're going to come out as a winner by 60. Not, well, Purdue showed up today and my team forgot that they were playing. They were worried about the clock turning under 100 days until Michigan.
I'll say this as far as with regards to Urban Meyer. I think he got some of that leeway because he expanded the recruiting footprint, which I think had been a big deal to the fan base in the recent years before he got here.
I'll tell you why I think he got a lot of leash. I think it's because of what he did at Florida. I think that's why he gets a lot of leash. That's probably why a lot of people like him. They go, oh, he already won one. Trust him here. Ryan Day didn't get that same thing. He was on the staff while they won one. Didn't get to win one. I don't know. I think you just got to be a little more patient. I think he's fine. There's no fear for me of him losing to Michigan this year. And I think he's probably going to go out there and win you at least a couple bowl games. He's going to have you. They're ranked second. They have one loss right now, and is a one-point loss to the number one team in the country, who you'll probably see again in the Big Ten championship game. Everything goes correctly. 216-474-0092. If you want to jump in on that, we'll take some calls there. But it'll have to wait, because coming up next, we bring in James Bridges. And we can go to Change Your Mind. Brand new segment. First time we're trying it. And I want you to let me know how you feel about it on X at Jake Vol. It's Jake Volnick right here, 92.3 The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.